Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light, Washington's most refreshing beer.
We got the professor with us here. John, how are you?
Good, how are you?
We're doing quite well.
I missed you guys.
Yeah,
you missed me?
We missed you, too. We always miss you. Aaron Rodgers sitting out tonight with a tight back.
Oh, no.
Is it spinal?
I don't know if it's the musical spinal, but no, it's just a tight back. And let's put it this way. It's like you watch how many guys aren't playing. If there's even a little nick. I mean, what? How about the Rams? They only brought two starters over, and they're not going to play. You know, Aaron Donald came over. They're playing in Hawaii, and so they left 20 players at home, 20 starters. And so it's like they're not playing anybody. Jacksonville has already scratched about 20 players, including more than half their starters. And so, you know, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play with a sore back, it's understandable because that's the way things are going right now.
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that? You
my
broke
back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal.
Who's that interviewing him now?
Jim Gray.
Don't you love it?
I do. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, John, you believe that the NFL is going to start to go that way as far as, you know, leaving starters behind?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, last week there was only 15 starting quarterbacks that played, and most of those were young guys. Mm-hmm. Then you had more than half the teams scratching more than half their starters. And so that's just going to be the trend right now. That's why, I mean, we're at the stage where they really start to need to go to two preseason games because, I mean, it's just a waste of time the way it's going right now.
Is there a player on the Seahawks that you think won't see any reps, even though he's healthy in the preseason?
Mike Iupati, Bobby Wagner, I'm just kind of going through.
Yeah, I would agree with those two because Wagner had the procedure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Mike Iupati always, you know, maybe a little bit of a risk health-wise. How about Dwayne Brown?
Possibly. I think that he's going to probably want to play. You wonder, I mean, would DJ Fluker be one that they might want to sit? That's a possibility. But I think that at least for a little bit, particularly knowing that Russell Wilson's going to be out there, that maybe four of the five starters will be out there.
Hey, have you been watching Hard Knocks?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, Gruden. We were just talking about Pete Carroll, and Danny brought up the fact that he doesn't seem to be that respected or well-liked nationally. And so we were just talking about his positive, upbeat attitude. But, man, Gruden, how about when he's up there at the podium, John, and he screams about execution?
Mm-hmm.
You know, better bleeping execution. I mean, that guy gets fired up. That's something I don't think you'd ever see from Pete. But
no, what you saw was put this way. What about in that fourth quarter or that second half when he got mad at the official and he had to almost be held back? Now, maybe that was a little bit of an act, but that was kind of wild.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, how he gets after players because he went after Peter Mann, mm-hmm. you know, and was talking about, hey, man, you know, I love you. But and then he just rips him a new one.
I know.
It's very, very interesting style there.
Well, that's just the way he is. I mean, he's just kind of wild with that, and it's fun. But again, I mean, he's now the star of Hard Knocks. I mean, he's the. I mean, you watch it because. And by the way, that was the highest rated Hard Knocks since 2015.
Mm.
Professor, speaking of the Oakland Raiders, they're on ESPN tonight, 5:00 against Arizona. That should be an interesting matchup to see Kyler Murray, and then just to see the Raiders since we're watching him on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, it really is because I think Kyler Murray has looked so good so far. And, you know, I know he threw 7 passes in the game last week, 1 series. But, I mean, every review coming out of camp is he gets better and better and better. And that looks like it's going to be a great choice for them. Now, I don't know if I want to go as far as Steve Keim and say that, you know, he's a generational type of player. But I think he's going to be really good. And you can't really complain about the way he's starting right now.
How do you think a full-on air raid will look in the NFL?
Debatable on that part because, again, what I have to see is, you know, are they going to run? You know, because that's the one thing, even with Mike Leach, I mean, he started really running 3 years ago. But, I mean, in this league, you still need to have some balance. And, of course, what they have with the air raid is more, you know, 4 receiver sets, and everything's going to be done out of shotgun. I mean, they expect that, in fact, they almost had to send out a bulletin in Arizona on practice because it was a red zone play where Kyler Murray took a snap behind center. I think they almost wanted to take the ball to Canton to the Hall of Fame for that.
The one time he got under center.
Yeah, the one time he got under center so far.
Yeah. John, I've been interested to see the reaction that people have had to the Jay-Z arrangement with the NFL, mm-hmm. and I see that Eric Reid, who was a former teammate of Colin Kaepernick's as well as Colin Kaepernick, Kaepernick hasn't criticized Jay-Z, but he's thanked Eric Reid, who's been outspoken in his criticism. I also see the point of Jay-Z being able to affect some change by working with the NFL. How do you think this has gone over?
I think there's over criticism. I mean, it's like it's 3 years now, and we're still talking about Colin Kaepernick, and it's like, you know, you have to pick sides, and it's like, is it Colin or is it the NFL? And you know, I think the Colin was interesting because he's been tweeting like mad the last couple of days, and he said, hey, that's just all business. He just did this for business, and maybe he did, maybe he didn't, but you know, that's just part of the business. And the business part for teams is that they didn't want to have him there because they thought there'd be a backlash of fans, and they thought that owners sometimes are upset with him. I mean, it's a shame he's not playing because, I mean, clearly for the last couple of years, he's been the best player on the street. But, you know, this is it just seems like, you know, you either have to take the side of Colin Kaepernick or take the side of the NFL. I'm neutral on it. I love the sport. And let's try to stay away from the politics of sports. And, you know, it's like, you know, all the players that, you know, have their protests and all that stuff, that's okay. I mean, again, as long as it's professional and all that, they're allowed to do what they wish. And, you know, some teams are going to hold it against them. But, yeah, I think this is starting to get a little bit of an overreaction the way it's going with Kaepernick and Jay-Z.
John, what's going on with Kyle Long? It looks like he took off his teammate's helmet in a skirmish and then tried to beat him with it.
Mm-hmm.
Holy smokes. I mean, is that going to get him fined and you know, kicked out of practice or what?
Well, he did get kicked out of practice.
So. I've only seen that one other time.
Yeah,
I won't mention the Seahawk player who did it. But, man, that's pretty – especially the guy's got no helmet, and then you're swinging his helmet at his unhelmeted head.
Yeah, that's a little bit too much. And, you know, that stuff has to stop, no question about it, because, I mean, that's just way too crazy because you can do too much damage. But again, that's the emotion that happens in some of these scrimmages and some of these internal things and all that. I mean, particularly now, you know, that you got the heat going. I mean, I thought something was going to break out with the Seahawks on Tuesday. I mean, you can see how chippy it got. But fortunately, it was just more pushing and a little bit of that. But, you know, that's just the heat of the game and the heat of the practice that tends to see that happen.
Professor, you have a post, 710sports.com, today talking about seven Seahawks who need to step it up during the preseason. You mentioned Lano Hill, Jacob Hollister, C.J. Procise, Nas Jones, Paxton Lynch, Keenan Reynolds, and John Ursua. Who needs to step it up the most out of that group? My vote, Professor, if you want my vote on this, Nas Jones. I don't think he makes his team.
I mean, you're right about that. He does, I think, but I still think it's Lano Hill. Because, I mean, he's even further behind Nas Jones because he's just back to practicing here in the last few days. And, you know, again, it's a hip injury. He was coming back from surgery and all that. It's not his fault. But I think what it comes down to is like, hey, is now put up or shut up? Because, I mean, you can see he's fighting two other guys that have had the playing time and all that. You know, Marquise Blair, you know, is going to make the team. You know, Shalom Lawani is, I think, going to make the team just because of special teams, and he can be the emergency safety. And you got Tedrick Thompson, who's been the starting free safety. And at least if you start Thompson, then Bradley McDougal gets to do what he wants, which is play more strong safety. But no, I think Lano Hill, but I would put Nas Jones in the number two position because, you know, he's got to show something because he's facing, Puna Ford is ahead of him. I mean, you got two veterans that they brought in for run stoppers, you know, Earl Mitchell, Al Wood. And so pressure's on right now. So Nas really needs to do something.
Well, you have Ursua on the list, a seventh rounder from Hawaii. But what about Gary Jennings? Is it simply because he's a fourth rounder you think he makes it?
Well, he's a fourth rounder, and I think that the way that he's played this week, I think, is, you know, got everything going because it was kind of slow. He was kind of doing like an Amara Darbo, where he's like, okay, have you seen him do anything? And then all of a sudden on, was it Sunday or Monday, he had a big, I think it was Monday, he had three great catches. And so I think he's starting to get the momentum going right now. And remember, he missed a good portion of the OTAs and the mini camp and that. So he's now starting to catch up. And I think, you know, being a fourth round pick, you know, being a big guy that can play outside or in the slot, and also being a very good special teams player, that I think is going to give him the number five spot at wide receiver. And then, you know, you get four guys competing for the number six spot if they're going to keep six. And that's Ursua, Keenan Reynolds, Malik Turner, and Jazz Ferguson.
Yeah, that's Jazz needs to have another game like that. I thought him and Paxton Lynch, in order to sort of seal their deal, they both need to come out and do something similar that they did last week. Where do you put the chances that Paxton Lynch is the backup quarterback?
I'm giving it a better chance. I mean, he made some nice throws today.
He did.
And, I mean, it's like he's starting to catch on a little bit. And, he's a big, tall guy. He's got a strong arm. He can run. I think that Geno still has the edge, but that edge is going very, very quickly.
Yeah, it just seems like he's all of a sudden it's clicked for him. So, yeah, it was nice. Hey, to see Landry Jones go to the XFL makes me think about where that league is going. Landry Jones, I guess, the first guy to sign as a quarterback?
In the
XFL. How do you think that league's going to go? What's going to be the appeal of that league that takes fans maybe away from the NFL?
Well, it's not going to take any fans away from the NFL.
It's a different time of year.
Yeah,
right?
And
just saying, though...
When they came out the XFL the first time, they were trying to take fans away from the NFL. Oliver Luck's in charge of this league, and he's done a great job of trying to make sure it's like, hey, we're not competing against the National Football League. And they saw what happened in the AAF, and what they saw in the AAF was that, hey, there's interest in football after the regular season of football and the playoffs and all that. There's interest in spring football, so let's try to build on it. And Oliver is trying to correct some of the mistakes that the AAF met. They're better financially. That's encouraging. You can see that they've done a good job as far as just trying to realize you got to get quarterbacks. The AAF didn't have any good quarterbacks. I mean, Josh Johnson, who's like about 85 years old, just signed with Detroit. I mean, he was about the only quarterback that was worth anything. And so, I mean, you can see they're going to go after former drafted NFL quarterbacks. I mean, Jake Heaps, they've offered a contract to, and he can go in there. Whoever loses the job here in Seattle is going to be pursued, and they want to wrap up the quarterbacks, by October.
Yeah. Well, that's great for the players that they have somewhere to go if no other NFL team picks them up. But I guess what I meant, not steal away NFL fans, but, I wonder if they're going to go more old school. Like some of the things that old school fans like myself don't like about the NFL that they're going to allow, like the blindside hit and things like that. I wonder if that's going to be the more sort of old school type of league. Is that kind of what they're going for there?
Yeah, I think what they want, you notice most of the coaches are all offensive coaches, and so I think they want it to be a passing league. I don't think they want it to be a football league where it's like you're looking at football in the 1970s and before Bill Walsh came in. So I think that they want, and one thing that I think dictates that, I mean, the pace. I mean, I think they have a 30-second clock or something like that. I mean, they want that pace to go pretty well because they saw how the pace went in the AAF, and that pace of the game went pretty well in that one. And so they want everything going to be quick. So I think it's going to be quick passing and all that stuff. And so it's not going to be the more physical league, and, probably wisely so, because, they're taking guys that, may not have had a season, or getting guys that hadn't played much. I mean, what they're going to try to do is recruit so many of the players that the practice squad guys that usually sign future contracts right after the season, because they're saying, hey, I mean, most of those guys get cut before the end of training camp, and usually those guys don't make it. Come in, have a season with the XFL, and you can do pretty well.
Hey, the AAF, there were some people that weren't getting paid, right? Some of the players, and nobody's...
Oh, you talked to Brock Huard?
Yeah, Brock did a game, right?
He did.
Yeah.
Still waiting for that check.
Right. Well, and the players, too, were getting stiffed, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So no movement there? That's still happening?
I mean, it's all in court. I mean, it's a big bankruptcy-type proceeding. I think that they tried to find a way to get most of the players to get their deals, but still, it's not good.
Professor Oliver Luck, so what about his kid? What's going on with Andrew Luck there in Indianapolis? Did I hear this correctly, John, that the calf strain now is a high ankle sprain?
That is correct, yes.
Well, how can an injury just turn into that?
I'm probably just trying to work on it and try to do it, but it's real strange because it started as a calf injury, and maybe there was some kind of bone thing that was going on initially, but they didn't certainly know about it, and so it's pretty bad. I mean, because what I'm wondering about, there's got to be maybe a little similarity with the L.J. Collier injury. Because remember, they're saying that it's not a high ankle sprain, but it's an ankle sprain that they haven't really seen before. And so maybe we're starting to see a new type of injury, and luck may have it, a Collier has it, because it's more in the top of the ankle as opposed to different areas of the ankle. But this is one where they've got to decide by next week if Luck's going to be able to start the opener against the Chargers, and right now there seems to be pessimism.
And what about Nick Bosa's ankle, John? What's the latest from San Francisco?
On Nick Bosa, he's at least now out of the boot, starting to try to do some things. And so, he's still questionable for the opener, but I think he's going to be there.
All right. Hey, John, it sounds like Phillip Rivers is kind of trying to go to bat for Gordon, who's holding out there. And any movement there?
No.
I mean, that's the right thing.
The only movement has to be Melvin Gordon coming into camp, because they're not going to go above $10 to $11 million. He wants 13. He's right in asking for 13, but they're just simply not going to pay it.
Wow. What do you think's going to happen there? Do you think it's going to pull a Le'Veon Bell?
Nobody's going to pull a Le'Veon Bell. Nobody's as stupid as Le'Veon Bell. it's not a strategy. I mean, you may hold out into the season. I mean, Trent Williams, and Dwayne Brown, it's interesting. Trent Williams, who does not want to go back to the Redskins because he doesn't trust the organization. He's mad about the medical staff. He's mad about a thing that happened in his forehead and all that stuff. And so he's not going back. But that situation is very similar to Dwayne Brown, because Dwayne Brown, for reasons, I guess, involving ownership, he did not want to go back, and he waited it out. Now he came back in, and then, of course, was traded right after the game against the Seahawks game against the Texans. And so he did it, but nobody's going to hold out. I mean, nobody's stupid enough to hold out the entire season.
Professor, I'm looking at the Eagles in Jacksonville, and the game is underway, John. It's underway already.
Yes. It's too bad we don't have a TV in here. We could watch it.
You could, I guess.
So we're not going to see Nick Foles going against his old team, and maybe a little bit more of Gardner Minshew tonight.
Yeah, and Gardner right now is getting a chance to maybe have a chance to maybe get that backup job. And he seems to have a little bit of an edge on that, and good for him.
It's also watching that process. Carson Wentz, it's not like he's under a ton of pressure, but there's going to be comparisons between he and Nick Foles this year, because he's the one that the Eagles chose to stick with. And it'll be interesting for the Jaguars. They've also got a lot of different things that are going on. Yannick Ngakoue remains unhappy with how much money he's making, so they've got some questions to answer as well.
Yeah, they really do. And, now so far everything's working out well with Nick Foles. I mean, he seems to really be throwing the ball well, showing good leadership. Everything's going well there. But, I mean, you got Jalen Ramsey driving up in a Brinks truck because he wants his money. You got Ngakoue, who is, held out, but he came back in. They've lost a lot of guys. Telvin Smith, Pro Bowl caliber linebacker, he's taken the year off. And so they have a lot of issues. And then two starters, Cam Robinson may not be able to start at the beginning of the season. Marquise Lee, their starting wide receiver, he may not be able to start. So they do have a lot of issues right now.
All right, John, on Sunday when we do the game together, yep, I want you to scout the sidelines for Hercules Mataafa. It sounds like he is not playing. He's playing without any gloves.
Oh,
or
no.
Tape on his hands.
Oh, my
God. So no stinkiness, no stinky gloves.
No stinkies, no.
But,
hey, when you're named Hercules, I mean, you can do those things.
That's right. But he's playing well, man. I was telling Jim this earlier. I watched. They have him lined up inside, so mm-hmm. just outside shade of the guard. So it's a three technique. He bull rushed a guard and got a sack, like an 8-yard sack. And then the next play, he made a tackle on a screen play. And went for a loss. It didn't get recorded because there was a penalty. But, man, it looks like for a guy who's 255 playing inside, and I'm sure they rush him from the outside too, he's having a really good little camp there.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, he had the big injury last year that prevented right. him from doing it. But
that happened in training camp? Was that when
I believe happened? So, yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is that you knew what a great athlete he was. I mean, he was sensational and a really great defensive player. I was kind of surprised that he kind of slipped through the cracks and didn't get drafted. But you knew he had NFL-type talent, and I think it's great to see that he's showing it.
How much do you think we'll see Jake Browning Sunday night?
I'd say maybe, because I think they're only going to go a quarter with Kirk Cousins if they do that. So I'd say maybe a quarter.
You wondering about Kirk Cousins' rookie center, the one whose butt sweats too much? Cousins said that the rookie center had assured him it's not an issue in games. Cousins seems skeptical given the level of sweat coming off of the rookie's legs.
I would also be skeptical. You're telling me that you sweat in practice and you're not going to sweat in a game. I'm not buying that.
Nah, it's not going to go. No, it's.
Did you say Elway one time had an issue with one of the centers?
Yeah, Dave Wydell. Yeah, he wanted him to wear shorts because he just wore his football pants and his jock strap. And he's like, come on, you got to put some shorts on or something. And he wouldn't do it.
That's really interesting. You would think that he would, that's a franchise quarterback, that his employment would be contingent upon John Elway's satisfaction.
Well, here's the thing. Dave Wydell was kind of an idiot. So that's the thing with him.
Wasn't he from Boston College?
Yeah. And he had a brother, too, that was a big, tough guy. That I think he played for the Packers, and then he came to us in Denver also. But, yeah, he was a loudmouth. So.
Didn't like him too well?
Well, I mean, I got along okay with him, but he was always running his mouth. And yeah, he actually was a participant in a naked fight.
Ooh!
A what?
In the shower?
In the shower, there was a fight between Dan, what was Dan's name? He was a big defensive lineman. And
Saliamua?
No. And it was Dave Wydell. And all of a sudden, he's like, hey, man, come on, we're in the shower. And he's like, I don't care. And they started throwing haymakers there in the shower.
It's surprising.
I felt like we were in prison.
Yeah, it's surprising.
Wait, this is a football team, isn't it? Last time I checked, are we in the clink? Holy smokes.
Well, you know, here's an interesting one, talking about in the shower. You know, Terry Bradshaw always was one to joke around. And so what he would do, he would take a warm water bottle, right? And when somebody was, you know, going to the bathroom to do, you know, standing up and doing what you would do in the bathroom,
yes,
he would go behind their back and then he would take the warm water bottle and make it look like he was,
urinating yes.
on so we did it on Jack Lambert because that was like the last
Uh-oh.
One he wanted
oh.
to do and it's like so he's doing it, you know, and all of a sudden Jack just stops and then he starts to turn around and Terry runs like mad trying to avoid Lambert, who was going to be relentless and was going to get Bradshaw.
That was something that guys would do sometimes in the showers, is go over and pee on some guy's leg. And some guy did that to my brother, and he punched him in the solar plexus and almost gave him a heart attack.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Because, yeah, you don't – that's not funny.
That's not,
no. It's just stupid.
If you went into a court of law and somebody said, why did you punch this man in his chest?
Yeah.
And you said, because he urinated on my leg. I believe the judge would say, carry on.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of that, and I know this is a gross topic, but who was it? Somebody said something, I think it was on Bob Gross and Tom, about somebody soaking their feet in urine. That somebody tried that. I think it was Chad Ochocinco.
Toughens him up.
He said something about, yeah, Andrew Luck, or maybe it was the receiver down in Brown, Antonio Brown.
Right.
Maybe it was them, but he said somewhere on Twitter or something that, I'm telling you, this works. It toughens up your skin, and it's therapeutic.
For years, some baseball players did that. Moise Alou, who was a pretty successful player, he's on the 94 Expos team and had a long career. He told Gary Miller that, and Gary Miller repeated it on TV, and then Moise Alou got really mad at him. Basically, like, that was set in confidence. Go tell people that I was urinating on my hands to toughen them up for baseball.
All right. Well, since we're
talking. Come on, you have to share that story.
Yeah. You'd get told that.
Professor, since we're talking about urine, is it true or is it an old wives' tale that when someone's sleeping, if you get a bowl of hot water and put their hand in it, that it will happen?
That I've never heard.
Oh, really? I've heard that, too.
Yeah. Why would you address that to John? John's an NFL insider.
Well, because,
he's the professor.
Well, because
and yet you're asking him about junior high.
It's a wild card question.
Yeah, well, plus we have him on every day between 4 and 4:25. And now
it's 4:25:17, so let's let the poor guy go, shall we?
John!
No more of these questions for you, John.
We'll hear you with the wild card tomorrow morning.
Okay, sounds good.
If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts, or warm facts, brought to you by Frost Brewed Coors Light.
Now that was a good one. Finally, a good one.
Washington's most refreshing beer. Download the podcast, 710sports.com. Well, the Mariners, they had a successful series against the Tigers. We've got two tickets to next Friday's game. We'll give those away next.
You're listening to Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
All right, we do have a trivia contest this time for two tickets. Our final pair of tickets to next Friday's game, August 23rd.
Mariners. Can I give hints?
No, because you'll ruin it like you did last week's question. 206-421-3776. We'll load up the phone lines And the winner, the first person to give us the correct answer, will win a pair of tickets to the August 23rd Mariners game. They host the Blue Jays. Don't forget to come early. Stop by our live broadcast at Edgar's Cantina from 3 to 6 p.m. The tickets and our broadcast are brought to you by Greg's Japanese Auto. The Seahawks, they play on Sunday night, which gives them quite a gap between their two exhibition games. Dave, you're going to be headed to the Land of 10,000 Lakes.
That's right, Lando Lakes.
Who do you think's got the most on the line in this game?
That's a good question, Danny. Shaquem Griffin, you know, Austin Kolletro. I think those two guys, just because they're playing well, but they're in a tight race with a lot of depth there. So I think that's interesting. Paxton Lynch does. You know, I mean, look, right now, if you had to pick a backup quarterback, who would it be?
I'd go with Lynch, but I feel like I feel like I'm suffering from recency bias.
Yeah.
Like the last thing I saw.
And now Geno's just holding his helmet out at practice.
Right. And Geno's been hurt since he had the cyst removed, which...
Yeah, we'll get a better idea, won't we, this week? Because Lynch will be the first quarterback in after Russell goes, what, one series maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Two. I don't know.
I'm not sure. Would you play Russell more? It's an interesting... I think we're watching a change in how teams prepare for the preseason. I think you're going to see fewer and fewer snaps from starters.
Well, and don't you think because of what the Rams did last year, that's what makes it entirely justifiable? Because they didn't play. And I'd have to go back and look. But I just remember it was none of... Like, Gurley didn't take a snap. I don't think Goff did. I don't think Aaron Donald did. And Ndamukong Suh didn't. You know, there was a ton of players that just didn't even take a snap. So,
yeah, and look how good they were starting the season, too. They averaged 35 points a game.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then they end up going to the Super Bowl. So that's probably what's going to make it more of a trend. But Russell, I think he likes to play, and I think he really wants to get out there. But I would go with Geno Smith right now. I mean, I guess if you see what you saw last week, and it doesn't have to be as spectacular as Paxton Lynch was, but – you know, if you see that he is continuing to have confidence and be purposeful and, you know, make the checks and just be in charge out there as a quarterback, he's got more upside. There's no question about that because of the first round draft choice status and the fact of, you know, the numbers that he's put up. And Geno's kind of had his chance. And, you know, he's middle of the road type of player. But what we've seen so far, if I had to go into the season right now, I think I would say Geno Smith. So, but you're right, you know, when you see it happen and then, you know, you just see Geno Smith, and he didn't have a great game. I don't think it was his fault. I mean, there was a lot of jailbreaks where he was under pressure. But yeah, I think Paxton Lynch has the most to gain probably of anybody else. And then I'd say maybe Jazz Ferguson too, because if he can follow that up, he'll be a legitimate candidate to make the team. Whereas I think even if DK Metcalf doesn't have a great preseason as far as games go, I still feel like he's going to make this team. Whereas Jazz Ferguson is a bigger long shot, and he's the one that needs to prove that he can, you know, have another 4 or 5 catch game.
Let me ask you just a quick question before we get to the Mariners contest, because I know everyone is waiting for that.
Can't wait.
I look at this team and I'm going, how talented is this team, Dave? And I guess what I'm getting at is that there are so many positions that there are battles going on. You know, who's going to make the team? Boy, a lot of tough decisions ahead for Pete Carroll and John Schneider. And yet, is it truly all that talented, or are all these guys pretty much, you know, middle of the road? And that's what I'm trying to figure out, because I go back to Bob Stelton talking to the professor about wide receiver in the competition there, and John will say, well, that's a really deep position. And then and Stelton, and rightfully so, said, well, not really, because there's a lot of guys there, but no one of note, except for Lockett.
No resumes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, really, you could argue Jerron Brown doesn't really have a great resume. I mean, it's not like he had any even close to 1,000-yard receiving yard years. So, yeah, we're going to find out, really. I mean, look, you can't gauge based on what's going on out at practice, unless you have like the Legion of Boom. When they would say good things about other receivers or quarterbacks, that meant something because those guys were the best. But this is all just an up-and-coming group. So, yeah, I'm kind of with Bob on that, where they don't have resumes, but it's competitive. Like, all of those guys could possibly be in that mix, whether it's Keenan Reynolds, Malik Turner, John Ursua. But as far as performance in the NFL, it's unknown. It's totally unknown. So That's why I think the preseason this year is so important. And I know people don't like preseason, but, man, I think it's great. I love watching these preseason games, watching guys stand out.
I enjoy the preseason very much as well. Should we give away these tickets?
Yes.
Let's start with Matt in Bellevue. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing well. If you win these tickets, are you going to come by and see us next Friday?
Absolutely. Would love to.
All right. Here's all you have to do is tell me, there was a Mariner on Tuesday that hit three home runs. Who was it?
Kyle Seager.
Matt, you win the tickets. We're putting you on hold.
All right.
Ashley will take your information. You're going to come by and see us. Thank you very much,
Thanks,
Matt.
Thanks a lot, guys. I'll see you soon.
Sounds good. That was very exciting, right?
Well, what happened to the other contestants?
Well, they don't get a shot. They're warming up in the on-deck circle.
Is it? But we're giving away two more tickets later?
No, those were already given away. Pete got them in the first hour.
Oh.
Unless you've got two tickets you want to give away.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You object to this?
I'm not objecting at all. I was just wondering. I'm happy for Matt. Are you?
Yeah. It's awesome for him.
I hope Matt comes down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kyle Seager, yeah, that third home run was a different one.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I always like it.
Was it a real home run?
Yeah, yes.
It was a home run.
It went over the fence.
Technically it was?
Yeah. Okay. Are you surprised that doesn't happen more often, or how often it does happen? That a player, it bounces off him? Because Canseco had one bounce off his noggin and go over. Malik Smith had one go off his glove and go over earlier this year, right?
Yeah, but that was like such a spectacular play that would have been, you were like, okay, that's okay that happened. What about if it's Domingo Santana out there?
Domingo Santana, he's looked better.
You know what, man? He has not, since the All-Star break.
I know.
He's not made.
I don't think I've seen any buffoonery.
I have not seen buffoonery from him either.
He hasn't been out. I think he's got a sore wrist or something. I got to admit, I haven't.
He's on the DL at the trade deadline.
Yeah, I know I've got a sports talk show host job here, but the Mariners, I'm still paying attention, but not quite.
It's Danny David Moore. We're going to sweep the dial. That's coming up next.
This is Danny David Moore
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app. Sweeping the dial. Streaming everywhere on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
Finally, Ohio State is attempting to trademark the most common word in the English language. The, or the. They want to use the university's name on apparel featuring the phrase, the Ohio State University, which is a thing, but it's not the only thing that starts with the.
Yes, a little Dumb and Dumber in there.
Trademarks are one of the weirdest things.
You know,
how can you trademark the?
This makes me harken back to the show of record, trying to trademark the Legion of Boom.
See if you make some cash off of that.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they took credit for that, right? Well,
yes.
Rightfully so. Well,
they did.
It happen on their show?
Yes, it did.
Did Cam come up with it, or did Skelton
no.
or Wassel or Drudge?
It was a listener of the show.
A listener of the show?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah. I think it's lame. I think the idea of trademarking a phrase that other people use is awful. The Ohio State University, and you're going to trademark that? With the idea that, oh, if somebody else uses that, they'll have to pay me something.
So where'd they come up with, when did they start saying the Ohio State University? Like there's some other, is there another to distinguish themselves from another Ohio State University? It sounds to me like they're too big for their britches there, and they want everyone to know that they think they're cooler than you.
Where's our intern?
Yeah.
Where's Nishant?
Nishant has stepped out for a brief moment.
You're going to have to find out from him the origin.
He's going to have to stand tall before the man.
This hubris.
Yeah, exactly. It's ridiculous.
Pat Riley trademarked three-peat. Made money off of that.
Oh, really?
You'll notice sometimes in advertisements people can't say Super Bowl because that's trademarked.
I have noticed that. The big game.
The big game. It's so lame. So lame.
Hurry up, Nate! 60! Throw it!
Nate gotta let the ball go, bro.
Come on, Nate, get the f*** on, Nate, let's go! Damn it! Hey, Nate, you gotta hurry up, man, it takes forever! Start the motion, get it going! We're running out of time, my life is running out of lifespan! So casual!
My life is running out of lifespan.
That reminded me of the Bill Romanowski thing. They're safe. They already go to Safeway.
Yeah.
They're already safe.
Tortured turn of phrase there.
Yeah, exactly. He rips him pretty hard, but then later on he ends up scrambling down to inside the 10-yard line, wins the game for him, throws a touchdown pass.
The Peter man can scoot. What's the meanest thing you've ever heard a coach say to a player? I got a good one. Alex Gibbs, who was here for about 5 minutes in 2010 under Pete Carroll, he said to a lineman, and he wasn't even mad, and he just goes, "You go stand over there. You can't play at all." And it was the meanest thing I've ever heard.
I heard once, this is like watching old people have sex, except with different words. Heard that one time. One time there was something about my grandmother could cover a kick better than this.
Yeah. Of course, she was 6'4", 250, ran the 40-yard dash at 4.5.
No, here Grandma it got was. Quicker in his day. You play like old people have sex. That's mean.
That's bad. That's bad.
They work, bruh. In the game. They work. Hands down. Every single time I play, he's doing some stupid. Every time.
Code violation on sportsmanlike conduct. Point penalty, Mr. Kyrgios.
Right now.
Leo Bathroom.
If we relate to go back to what happened at the US Open with Mohamed Lehani, he can't talk to him.
Yeah. He's now just ignored Fergus Murphy. Yeah.
Come on, Nick, you don't get time
I'm
for that.
I'm getting my racket, bro.
You don't get time for it.
Time violation warning. This is scary.
Picked up a time violation.
Nick Kyrgios.
That's it.
An Australian with a short temper. I like to say that he showed an innovative way to smash rackets today. Or it wasn't today. It was over the weekend. Are they playing in Cincinnati? Mm-hmm. He went in, asked for a bathroom break, and then went into a little room and went to town with his two rackets. And the announcer goes, he went in with two rackets and came out with two broken rackets. I'm like, oh, I wonder what happened there. And then he took too much time because he had to re-grip one of his rackets. But yeah, he lost it.
So there's a room for tennis players too, because we found that out from, was it Divish or Ryan Roland Smith, that there's a room where the Mariner batters can go into and just let it all hang out.
The tantrum room.
Yeah.
Would you like to see more of this in tennis? I kind of would, just because it doesn't seem like tennis is nearly as popular as it used to be. And you go back to McEnroe and Connors in those days.
There was something lame about it, though. And Jimmy Connors, I didn't mind McEnroe because I felt like his was, A, it was whiny enough to be entertaining. Jimmy Connors, I thought, was totally artificial, that he would throw these fits to get himself fired up. And I'm like, I don't want to watch you behave like a 12-year-old.
Yeah. You know, right now, the three guys, Nadal, I can't remember the kid who won. Federer, and then the guy who won this time.
Joker.
Yeah, they're as good as it's ever been. I think between them, they have like 18, ridiculous number of Grand Slam champions. I don't know. I think that's one of those sports you have to play in order to appreciate it.
There's something about singles tennis players, though. They're the most diva-like athletes ever. Like, the singles tennis player is a fundamentally selfish athlete. Them and golfers.
Yeah.
But golfers at least have a caddy that usually keeps them in check.
You know, it's weird to me, and I think I've mentioned this before, but like when I was growing up, if there was a nice day like today, there'd be people on the tennis courts, and if you wanted a tennis court, you'd have to wait for one. Now you drive by tennis courts, you don't see that many people playing.
Back in my day, you had to hustle to get a tennis court. Now they're all empty.
You know, I don't care if Danny's making fun of me, but when Ashley is laughing in there, that really hurts my feelings, Ashley.
I'm so sorry.
Come on.
It's more about Danny's delivery than anything.
Come on.
If I have to be honest, it's about the delivery.
Come on.
I think Danny's one of the funniest people I've ever met.
Seriously?
I'm an honest person. I can't lie. But
I mean,
Jim,
cracked
you're so
one,
great.
He cracked one good joke today. He
no,
cracked
I had
one
two,
out man. Of 100.
That was the third one.
I had two. I had two. The wind sometimes, unless you it know, snows. That one was solid.
I was just trying to make a comment on the state of tennis and how tennis used to be, just in my opinion, used to be really cool. And I used to play it, too. I even developed a two-handed backhand. I did. I got pretty good for a while. Not great. Or actually, not even that good. But
you had fun.
Just,
that's all that matters.
Tell me. I'm Well, text in here. I'm going to stand up for myself, damn it. Listen, when I was growing up, people were always playing tennis, and I don't see it that much anymore. Am I wrong? I don't think I'm wrong. So I want more of this from Nick Kyrgios. I want to see guys throwing rackets and just making fools of themselves out there.
I like that the tennis courts are always empty. Then we can go play.
You can
we
go
don't
play.
Have to wait anymore. Yeah.
It is Danny, Dave, and Moore.
Is that it?
It is the happy hour. Yeah. How much were candy bars then?
Candy bars?
Tennis.
5 cents.
Yeah, quarter.
Yeah, quarter.
I remember. You want one more? I got a good one.
Remember.
So, okay, in Redmond, there was a gas station.
There were no stoplights in Redmond.
When I was 16, so this was in 1973, I could go to the Maverick gas station, which was pretty close to the Redmond Golf Links, which is where you'll find Redmond Town Center right now. They paved over my damn golf course. I'm still unhappy about that. Every time I go to Redmond Town Center, I think to myself, I want my golf course back. Hey, about a half mile from there, Maverick gas station, you could fill it up for $25.9 a gallon. What do you think? You like that one?
Yeah, sounds great.
Okay. All right.
That is the happy hour brought to you by Heritage Distilling, makers of BSB. That's brown sugar bourbon. We've got Jamar Taylor, Seahawks cornerback, a guy with a very interesting story and a pretty rich history and a connection to Chris Peterson. He joins us next.